Gospel of Isaiah, I said that right, it's quoted more than any prophet in the New Testament. Over and over again, our Lord Himself quoted Isaiah. He gave the word to Isaiah, and yet He quoted it. He honored His servant. Comfort ye, verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. This is to me. This is to those who preach. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, to the church. Speak comfortably. Tell them, cry unto them. Her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity, all of it, is pardoned, forgiven, blotted out. She's received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Comfort. The gospel is a message of comfort. Who for? Those who have iniquity. Those who have sin. Those who are guilty. Pardon doesn't mean anything to a righteous person, does it? Christ said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Gospel's good news, glad tidings. Isaiah 52 says how beautiful on the mountains, Mount Zion, are the feet of Him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace. You know, good news is welcome news to those who've heard the bad news. You know, we often say this, do you want to hear the good news first or the bad news? Always choose the bad news first. It'll make the good news better. You understand? Brother Scott used to say, I've never heard any bad news since I've heard the good news. You got to hear the bad news. Not smile, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. He's angry. I got good news. I got glad tidings. Glad tidings. Glad tidings. Good news makes you glad, makes you happy, doesn't it? I want you to go away from here happy. Bad news makes you sad, doesn't it? Brother Barnard, you quoted this, John. Brother Rolf Barnard told my pastor when he was just 20-some years old, he said, preach, young man, preach so that men will get mad, sad, or glad. Preach so clearly, they understand what you're saying, who God is, what man is. They'll get mad. They won't believe it. But some, by God's grace, get sad. Blessed are they that mourn. They'll get glad. They'll be happy. Mad, sad, or glad. Bad news. War. There was a time in this country, up until 9/11, or not, yeah, 9/11, this country never, until way before that, Civil War was never really invaded, right? And someone invaded, and the thought of war shook this nation that thought it was so impregnable, so undefeatable. It was a time, world war, when this nation was going to be neutral. Remember? And every nation in the world was being under attack by ruthless men. And this nation was going to be neutral. Well, Pearl Harbor. It wasn't but by the grace of God that they didn't come straight from Hawaii to California, that they'd own this land. God stopped him, didn't he? But this whole nation was shaken. It changed everybody in this nation's lives. You did not have a life like you used to live. You lost a lot of what you had. Creature comforts and all that. The news of war is a terrible thing. But buddy, when World War II was over, I'd like to have been there. I'd like to have been a part of that. When World War II was over and they sent news across the airwaves, peace! No more war! It's over! Our enemy that made us tremble is dead! Whew! This whole nation was one big party. I've got better news than that. God who's angry with the wicked every day. God who sends these wars because of that, because of idolatry, because of sin, because of rebellion and rejection of Him, because they hate His Son. God is angry with the wicked every day. There will be no peace for the wicked, for those who rebel against God, for those who don't have any interest in God's Son. God's not going to let it happen. He's going to send calamities and disasters. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men that hold the truth in unrighteousness. No, God is not like this world says He is. He loves you and has... No, no, no! That's not the God of this book. And the heavens declare His glory, the firmament showeth His handiwork, and the wrath of God revealed every day, and man is so ignorant and blind he doesn't see it. We see it. Don't we? How good God is to show us, like Israel of old saw those plagues. They knew who sent those plagues. And they knew why. And they knew it was the mercy and grace of God that it wasn't on them. Here's the good news to His people. You see, this is not to everybody. This is not the rebels against God. This is to those that trust Him, believe Him, and bow to their Creator and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak comfortably to them. Speak to their heart. Tell them their warfare is accomplished. God is not angry with them. The wrath of God is not going to fall on them. Why? It fell on their substitute, Jesus Christ. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord. Warfare is accomplished, and Christ won. By Christ, the Son of God, the captain of our salvation, He came, He conquered sin, death, and hell. You've heard that a million times. Want to hear it another million? It's good news now. Warfare accomplished. Peace. Peace. You have peace with God. You know, we feel guilt all the time, don't we? We do. We feel guilt all the time. We feel fear. We're afraid. Our sins give us trouble. The world gives us trouble. We fear God, and we fear missing God. We fear missing eternity, and we fear we're going to fall away. Good news. I got good news. To the child of God, those who are in Christ, it doesn't matter how you feel. Christ obtained your redemption. Is that good news? Or what? Isabella, one time I fixed her a milkshake. She was only about 5 years old, standing there. And I was drinking. She drank. She looked up at me and said, "Is that good or what?" Is this good news or what? Well, if you're drinking it in, hungry and thirsty after righteousness, if you're a sinner, if you're a child of rebellion, a child of wrath, even as others, but God brought you in to hear this voice. Good news. You've received of the Lord's hand double for all your sins. Meaning, mercy and grace have met together. Righteousness of peace have kissed each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only forgives you, He adopts you. Isn't that something? He not only says your sins are gone, but He said, "You're going to be with me in glory forever." He not only pardoned that thief on the cross for everything he'd ever done and not done, He took him into glory with Him. "Look, Father, your son's home." My, my, my. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Verse 3, "The voice of him crieth in the wilderness." Thank God for His voice. Huh? Thank God for preachers. I'd have never heard God's voice if he hadn't raised up a man to preach to me. He still speaks. And though the world despises this office, this is the only way that God's going to speak to you and your children. It is. The voice of him, what's he to cry? Verse 3. Prepare the way of the Lord. What's a preacher do? You know, I had the privilege yesterday of speaking over what they call Zoom. Brother Clay Curtis has been speaking to some men in the Philippines that want to be preachers. And he asked me to do it yesterday. Done it before in Mexico and our men here too. But what is the preacher to preach? What's the voice? God made a man be a preacher. What is to preach? One thing. One thing. He's to do one thing. Preach. Preach Christ. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. What's the way? Who's the way? Christ is the way. The truth. The life. Prepare ye the way of the Lord in the desert. This is a desert, isn't it? This is a desert. It's dry and thirsty land. There's not much water here. There's not much truth here. Lots of Bibles, not much truth. Lots of churches, not much truth, not much gospel. It's a desert. Oh, make a highway for our God. Who's that? He's talking about our God. He says he's going to come. Our God. Who is it? Jesus Christ. He's going to describe him here. Read on. He said, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain made low, every low sinner is going to be brought high. Oh, we just don't know how high. When he told that thief, today you'll be with me in paradise, he had no clue, did he? He's just glad the Lord spoke to him. He's just glad he felt pardoned. Boy, the next thing he knew, we just know now. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain, every proud, high, and lofty sinner is coming down. Count on it. God's purposed it. It's going to happen. Everything that exalteth itself against God and against Christ is going to be brought crashing down. Everyone that bows at his feet, humble and broken in his sight, going to be lifted high, way high. Behold his glory. Make the crooked straight. Oh my. Make the rough places plain. You know, the law can't save us, can it? You can't climb Mount Sinai. I'm here to tell you about somebody who did and accomplished our salvation. The gospel, plain and simple, is Christ did it all. There it is. Christ is all. The glory of the Lord. Who's that? What's that? It's Christ. Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord. I'll be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. The Lord, God, merciful, gracious. What's that? Who's that? Where's that? It's all in Christ. You see, mercy and truth, righteousness and peace, the goodness of God, the good news of God is all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified for sinner. Good news. Good news to sinner. All flesh is going to see Him someday together. All flesh, verse 5, the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, didn't He? It said, like the lightning that strikes from the east to the west, all flesh is going to see Him. They are. Now the voice, verse 6, God's word says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. That's what you cry. The goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. I've told you so often to read Psalm 90, and that's what it's talking about. says we grow up as tender plants and get cast down, and we're no sooner born until we get old and we die. It's like a sleep. You go to sleep and you wake up and you're old. It's over. That's just the way. That's flesh. Flesh, flesh, flesh. Flesh is so weak. So flesh is so finite, isn't it? 70 years, you know. That's not very long, is it? It really isn't. It goes by like that. It really does. And flesh is so weak. One little germ. One little germ. One little bullet. One little blood clot. Reduce you to nothing. Strongest man. Most beautiful woman. It's grass. Spirit of the Lord blows on it to show us you're just grass. You just die withering. You grow up for a little while. You bloom. You look beautiful. When our Lord's wrath is kindled just a little, it doesn't take much to blow all flesh away. That's it. But here, look at this. Verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Everything He said is true. Christ said that. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word of mine shall fail. And those of you who believe His word, it'll go well with you. And His word is Christ, isn't it? He's the Word. The Word of our God shall stand forever. Now, verse 9. I'm getting to verse 10 and 11, which I want to dwell on a little bit. O Zion, or thou that preachest to the church. Who's listening to me right now? Huh? The church. Mount Zion. Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. The world won't have this. We've been here 35 years. I've been here 35 years. A man before me preached the gospel. This community, where are they? Where are all the people? I've invited them. Some have come, some have gone. You've invited them, haven't you? Where are they? Why aren't they here? Well, they've got a place they like. That's fine. They got a God they like. They don't like this God. Don't like me. I understand that. I don't like me. You better like this God. You better like this truth. All I'm trying to do is tell you what God says about God. And what God says about man. I don't want to hear that. I'm a worm. Well, God said it. You know who wants to hear it? Worms. Jacob. Hear not thou, worm Jacob. That woman came to Christ. He said, I'm not giving the children's bread to dogs. What'd she say? Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Everything you say about me, about you, about man, about God is truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. And you're my Lord. You call me a dog, it's true. I'm totally, completely at your mercy to feed me or cast me aside or kick me out. I'm your dog. The only reason she said that, Helen, is because she was his dog. What do you think about your dogs, Helen? I know what you think about them. I've been there. She treats them like humans. And our God does too. Treats them like sons. Oh, thou that preachest to Zion good tidings. I got good news for dogs. My dad preached a message one time from that passage. He entitled it, All Dogs Go to Heaven. It's true. O Zion, thou that bringest good tidings, get up into a high mountain. O Jerusalem, or he that preaches to the church, New Jerusalem, that brings good tidings, that preaches the gospel, lift up thy voice with strength. When did preachers start hollering? Well, at least from Isaiah. In Isaiah, another place it says, be not afraid, lift up your voice. Lift up the voice with strength. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, tell them. You'd like to say this, wouldn't you? You'd like to say this right now, wouldn't you, John? Behold your God. Brothers and sisters, would you listen to the Word of God? God is not trying to do anything. God is doing everything. God is not waiting on man to let him do anything. He's already done everything. God, yes, God's done all he can do, and there's nothing left to do. That's the God I need. Don't holler. No, it's what he tells me to do. Oh, my, my. Our God is God. In the face of this world of wars and rumors of wars and all this evil and all this wickedness and all this that we're worried about for our children and ourselves and our economy and all that, behold, your God is God. God's God. This is His world. He made it. He runs it right now. Everything that writhes or wriggles, every germ, every bullet, every sword, every cannon, God's reigning and ruling. I can't say that except with zeal, enthusiasm. Are you hearing me? He told me that. How many times do we have to tell that? As long as I have breath, as long as I'm your voice, brothers and sisters, you need not fear anyone or anything but God. He's God. He is not this God men are saying that. Who's not to be feared. Who's a bystander. Who doesn't want things to happen, they happen anyway. Who needs, he's not, that's no God. He's no more God than I am. That's no more God than I am that doesn't want bad things to happen anyway. That's me. I can't do anything. Behold your God. This whole book. Isn't it? If you've read it. This whole book is telling us, I'm God. Why does he keep having to say, I'm God, there is none else? Why does he keep saying that? Because man's such an ignorant dummy. Such a fool. God wants to be God. Won't you let God be God? Let God be God. Are you serious? He goes on to say, Who was there when he created the universe? Who let him do that? What are you comparing him to? How can you compare this incomparable God? What power on earth or in heaven for that matter can you compare to God? None. You have no concept of his absolute power. None. No concept. Oh, tell them, behold your God. Look at verse 10. Now, verse 10 to 11. This is what made me want to preach from this. Behold, the Lord God will come. Who? What does Isaiah 25 say? In this mountain shall he do this feast of fat things and wine and on the leaves, and he'll destroy the I don't want to misquote it. So in this mountain the Lord shall destroy the face of the covering cast over the people. That is, they're blind to God. And the veil that spread over all the nations, the veil of the New Testament, who God is, who Christ is, you swallow up death and victory. Who did that? Jesus Christ. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all the faces. And it will be said, in that day that he comes, this is our God. Who? Jesus Christ. Was God. Is God. He has come. Isaiah said he will come. The Old Testament says someone's coming. The apostles, the gospels say he's here. Who? God. Manifest in the flesh. Well, that Jesus can't be God. He's just a man like that. Mm-mm. He was God and made himself be a man. Your God. That's our God, isn't it? Verse 10. He'll come with a strong hand. And his arm shall rule for him. Now, as I said, I repeat myself, trying to repeat what the Lord said. Isaiah 62:6 says the Lord's remembrancers. Just keep saying the same thing over and over again. I'm going to repeat myself. It's all right. Say the same thing. I'm told to. But this is how you know the difference between false religion and truth. All religion, false religion without exception, says this. They use this little clever cliche. And I've heard it in Catholicism. I've heard it in Southern Baptist. I've heard it in Methodist. I've heard it in Presbyterian. I've heard it everywhere. Episcopal, you name it. Lutheran. I've heard it all across the board. Every one of them believed it. God has no hands but your hands. No feet but your feet. You've heard it, haven't you? You heard it when you were in that false religion. You heard him say that. Meaning God can't do anything without you. I'm here to lift up my voice and tell you our God has hands and we're in them. Everyone and everything is in His hands. The Scripture said He's the God in whose hands our breath is. COVID? I forgot the name of it. Hallelujah. I forgot the name of it. If I never hear the word again, I'll be fine. That doesn't take away our breath. God does. He said, I kill, I make alive. If you don't believe that, you'll be afraid of every germ flying through the... You better wear a mask, all right? Believers have no business fearing like that. None. Behold your God. The God whose hands your breath is, and all your ways, your children, your grandchildren, your life, your money, your house, your dog is in His hands. Aren't you glad? I worry about those two little cats being run over. Who brought them here? Name one Ruth, because God did. Brought her here. She's me. Ruth's me. I said, Ruth, I'm not going to cast you out. Why? Because she's me. Because I found grace in the Lord's eyes. Who am I? I'm more worthless than that cat. And don't you say anything about Ruth. Seriously. He's our God and everything and everyone is in His hands. And under His arm. His almighty arm. Leaning. We're going to sing, I hope, in closing, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, our Lord has arms. His strong hand, His strong arm. I had 50 verses of Scripture about His arm. I was going to read to you. Let me just read you one, okay? I run out of time. As a psalm, the psalms are full of His hands and His arms. Why does religion say that? Because they don't use the Bible. They don't read the Bible. Psalm 89, listen to this. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. We had in reverence of them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who's a strong Lord like unto Thee? Thy faithfulness round about Thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, You still them. Who did that when He was on earth? Jesus Christ. You've broken Egypt in pieces as one that is slain. You scattered your enemies with your strong arm. We use that term. He strong-armed him. Psalm 89, listen to verse 13. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand and high is thy right hand. Listen to this. You spake in vision to your Holy One. I've laid help on one that's mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. I've found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With my hand he'll be established. And mine arm shall strengthen him. Our God has hands and arms. It's Jesus Christ. That's His arm. That's His hand. God is spirit. Yes, He is. But He's flesh too. And He has a mighty arm. And we're in His hands. And we're hanging on His arm. John, you brought this up a few messages back. I brought it up. Do you remember when you were just a child and you had a father, healthy father? Would he ever make bear, roll his sleeve back and show you his bicep? Your father ever do that? I thought my father was Arnold Schwarzenegger. He showed me that arm. I took great comfort in his arm, you know. I did the same thing with my daughter, you know. God made man different than women. And the strength of a man is first and foremost seen in his arm. It's what, you know, men take such pleasure in getting their, and vanity and pride in getting their arms big, you know. It's the way he made a man. Strong arms, okay? Why? Strong arms and muscles to lift heavy loads. Strong arms and muscles to bear heavy burdens. Strong arms and muscles to build buildings, big buildings, fight wars, defeat foes. Oh, that is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. As a man on this earth, he had no form nor comeliness. He was not tall like some of you. He was not handsome like somebody. He didn't have bulging muscles. There wasn't a stronger man on earth. It's not outward. It's not for show. It's for service. For a purpose. Man is so vain. You know, he builds up these arms. He goes, these bodybuilders, you know, they spend all their days in a gym. And they ain't worth a flip. They may be able to bench press 500 or 600 pounds, but they hadn't done nothing for nobody. And here this poor little rabbi from Bethlehem comes walking, slim. What is strength? Strength of body? Strength of heart. Strength of mind. Oh, no doubt he could, with a word, bring down his foe. He did. Sit. I love you know, Martin Luther and that hymn, "One Little Word Shall Fail Him." Remember when Satan, our Lord said to Satan, "Get." That's strength. But our Lord is the arm of, He is the arm of God, the arm of the Lord, able to lift heavy loads, the only one. Bear heavy burdens, you and every one of us, and all that you own, He's able to bear you up. Hey. Build buildings. He built this church. Though the gates of hell are against it, He's fighting every fight. Every battle, He's strong. All power, He said, is given unto me in heaven and earth. He's able. His arm is not short. He's able to reach down into the lowest pit. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. Reached way down for me. No, I'm here to tell you, His arm's not short. You say, my child's too far gone. There ain't no such thing. His arm's not short. He's able. He's not weak. He's able to lift out of the pit. Oh, I love this story. Simon Peter. How do you picture Simon Peter? I picture John as kind of a small fellow like me. I picture Simon Peter being about like Stephen now. Okay? Simon Peter was going down under those waves. He was drowning. And our Lord Jesus Christ, an average man, about 5'8" or 9", 140 pounds maybe, reached down and picked him up. Stephen reached down, "Where?" And Simon Peter, "That's my God. He's my God." See, Stephen, Peter couldn't save himself. Only one could. A strong arm. Brothers and sisters, our God has arms. And Jesus Christ is it. And let me close with saying this in Isaiah 40. It says, His arm shall rule for him. He reigns and rules. His reward is with him. His work before him. He is our reward. His work is our work, isn't it? But what this is saying, I believe, is saying he did this not for money, not for reward, not for money or any of that. He did it out of love, honor to the Father, for the glory he had for his Father, and for the joy that was set before him of making you his people. He did it out of love. It wasn't show bringing Simon Peter out of that. Look how strong I am. It was love. He's not going to let Simon Peter drown because he loves him too much. Now, if you trust him, if you call on him, he is not. It's good news. If you look to him, I don't care where you are, what you are, how low, how deep you get in the pit, if you look to him, that's what that prayer says. You call on him, he is not going to let you go. That's our God. And look at this strong arm. His strong arm, he'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather his lambs with his arm. And he's going to carry them in his bosom. Gently lead those that are with young. That strong arm that's able to build a universe. Hand. Strong arm able to defeat every foe. Conquer the whole world. I've overcome the world, he said. It will not overcome you because I've overcome it. By myself, Christ. That strong arm is so gentle. And so tender. My dad had those big arms. You know, there's nothing I like more than to have him put that arm around me. Has this gospel done that for you? I hope so. That strong Lord, if you love him, he loves you like that. May he wrap you in his arm. He'll gently lead you and your young all your days. Carry you to your hoary head. Okay. John, you come, please.